Hey, thanks for listening to the Psalm 704 podcast today. This is Pastor Ryan Hodgins, your host. We're super excited that you can join us as we grow together discussing current issues from a biblical perspective. Remember, Psalm 70 verse 4 says, "Let those who hunt for you sing and celebrate. Let all who love your saving way say over and over, God is mighty." I hope you enjoy today's episode as you listen in. Hey, I'm glad that you're joining us to listen to this podcast today. We always appreciate that you're listening, that you're tuning in, and that you're learning. Today, we've got Moses with us in the studio. How are you doing, Moses?
Not too bad. Pretty good, actually. Good. Ready to get started.
I know that I'm interested in this topic we're talking about today. We've met together. You've been on the show before, and we talked about demons and things like that in the past. And so we're going to kind of delve into that supernatural topic again and kind of go from there. I'm just going to start with this random question. Hey, were you ever tempted to play with like a Ouija board or anything like that when you were a kid?
So growing up in a minister's household, there is a strict, you know, way of doing things. You know, what is right, what is wrong is made extremely clear. And things like that have really cemented that in my head. You know what, stay away from this. Seeing the actual consequences, some physical consequences of doing things like that, you know, you're definitely, you kind of just don't even, you know, you want to gravitate towards that.
So in the past with you, you know, you seeing things like people being possessed and your dad having to do exorcisms, things like that, it just kind of was like a red flag for you. You just weren't even really tempted. I know for me as a kid, I did mess around with some of that stuff. I was kind of fascinated by it. I know that a lot of our listeners probably have been in the same experience. Maybe we're fascinated by a Ouija board or by those little games that kids play that they really shouldn't be playing, that are messing around with spiritual forces and stuff. And I think a lot of these issues have to deal with misunderstanding of the supernatural. Of course, in Revelation, the Bible talks about a war that broke out in heaven between the devil and his angels and Michael and his angels, and that the devil lost and him and his angels were cast out of heaven. That's in Revelation chapter 12. And so we know that there are these evil angels that can try to mess with us or lead us down the wrong direction. We've all seen or heard of stories of people being possessed and how scary that is. But we don't often think about the steps that it took for someone to get there, things that may seem innocent and it leads them down a road. What are some of the things that you know of that people step into that may seem innocent that lead them down the wrong road?
Might seem like a one-time thing, but it really isn't, to communicate through a medium. Even if you don't see something specifically, or even if the devil doesn't manifest himself before you, there's still this trauma you have in the back of your mind. You're always thinking, you know, what if he does? Or, you know, you're always looking over your shoulder. It starts off with something small, but then it escalates extremely quickly. And so when it's there, it's really bad. But even when it's not, it still creeps behind you in a way.
I've talked with a lot of people who have said, I've talked with a loved one, or my uncle comes and talks to us, and sometimes he even has supper with us, things like that. To me, that's kind of scary because, you know, although you think you're talking with someone that's familiar, they're not. A lot of this comes from our misunderstanding of death. People think that when you die, you go straight to heaven or straight to hell, and that the spirits of your loved ones that are in heaven can come back and visit you and things like that. And so people will look into stuff like that because they're curious and they want to know more. They want to see their loved one again, things like that. People will go to scary looking houses on the side of the road with a palm on it. This is like palm reading or whatever. Tarot cards, medium, fortune tellers, mediums, Ouija boards, that kind of stuff can lead us in a path that's dangerous. Like you were saying about trying to be in touch with loved ones and whatever, I think that's a slippery slope. Because of these spirits that are out there or whatever, we often wonder, like, is my loved one coming to visit me? Who did my aunt see when her husband came or whatever? And so we want to know more. We want to know what's happening. But we got to be careful because the Bible says in 2 Corinthians that even Satan himself can be disguised as an angel of light. So these demons, these forces out there, they come and they try to trick people and make them think that they're their loved ones. Now, for a lot of reasons, we know that, or some of us know that those may not be our loved ones. And that comes from a misperception of death. You know, a lot of Christians, they look at death like when you die, you go straight to heaven or straight to hell. And so there are these spirits from those people that can come and be with us. Have you ever heard of stories of people, you know, talking with loved ones or things like that?
Definitely. So growing up, my mother and her parents definitely wanted us to know more about this. Since we had already experienced it, you might as well properly inform us about it at this point. So we were read the story of this lady named Mary. Now, in Spanish, it's a really good book. It's called María la Hija de las Sombras. In English, that'd be Mary, Daughter of the Shadows. And in this story, which is a true story, Mary loses, I think it was her grandmother. She tries to communicate to her grandmother through a medium. And it turns out, you know, either it was her grandmother or mother comes in and tucks her into bed at night. And this starts off in a journey that takes her to eventually herself become a medium. So she, you know, goes from trying to seek out her loved ones to being one of those doors that demonic entities use to get to people. And it's extraordinary. It's very dangerous as well.
You know, it's interesting because we were talking a minute ago about death and how people think that, you know, their loved ones go to heaven or to hell. And maybe this is a good time to touch on that. You know, we may think, oh, it's good news, my loved one's in heaven. But then it could also be bad news because your loved one might be in hell. So there really could be, and I don't know about you, I've never been to a funeral where the preacher was like, yeah, Jimmy's in hell. You know, they're always like, he was a good person and blah, blah, blah.
They all go to heaven.
Yeah, not everybody would go to heaven, the reality is. And so that it's sad then to know that your relative could be here in hell. But it's interesting because the Bible says that when you die, you return to the dust. It also says in Psalms chapter 119 verse 15, it says the dead know nothing. There's another verse that says the dead do not praise God. I don't know about you, but if I was in heaven when I died, I would probably be praising God. And so we got to look at what the Bible says as a whole. This is not a study today on death per se. Maybe we'll do a podcast on that another time. But just on that brief summary, you know, the dead do not know anything. The dead do not praise God. They talked about in Acts that David was sleeping in the ground still. So the Bible is pretty clear that when you die, you're in the ground. You're resting. Yes, when Jesus comes back, he will raise us and take us to heaven, those that chose him. And so that's good news. But if the dead know nothing and they're not in heaven, then who is it that's communicating with us?
Yeah.
And I think that's a more scary thought. Like if the dead, which I think the Bible really does say, and if someone has questions or wants to know, they can contact us via our social media, Psalm_704 at Instagram, or they can email me, pastorhodgins@gmail.com. That's Pastor Hodgins at gmail.com. And I will send you resources to help you understand death better. But in the meantime, let's just make the assumption that what the Bible says is true is that you are in the ground sleeping. So then who is contacting us? We're going to take a little break here for Psalm 704 podcast. Thanks for listening. Come back after the break. I'm Pastor Ryan Hodgins with Psalm 704. I find it interesting that we are social beings. We need connection. As young adults, we are active in social media, yet our lives are becoming increasingly less social. In the 1920s, only 20% of the world's population was urbanized. Now it's over 80%. Yet in the 1920s, your great-grandparents knew everyone that lived around them. You barely know your neighbors. You're just acquaintances with your work colleagues, and most of your social media contacts are distant. You and I were made for more. Our hearts long for connection. Get connected today. Check us out at psalm704.com and on Instagram at psalms_704. And join us monthly as we build community and life together founded in the heart of God. Hey, this is Pastor Ryan back with Psalm 704 Ministries and our podcast. We're having an interesting topic. Let's just make the assumption that what the Bible says is true is that you are in the ground sleeping. So then who is contacting us?
That is a great question. Who is it? Because the Bible says that Satan is the father of lies. Like you said earlier, he masks himself as angels or even loved ones. So if you, you know, thinking about it, you know, you might think you're having dinner with a loved one or someone who's passed away, but and really it's, you know, Satan himself, and you're sitting at the table with Satan himself. And he's right there in front of you, and you might not even notice it. The dead aren't there, your loved ones aren't there, and if you call out to your loved ones, you're letting Satan and a legion of demonic entities into your life.
Yeah. Oftentimes, we think about these people who are stuck in a life of sin or in trouble, in a desperate situation, and again, thinking, how did I get there kind of thing. It never starts with a big dramatic thing. Like, you don't see some innocent person or some Christian that's just all of a sudden at a seance, you know, calling on Satan to pour out his evilness upon them or something, you know, possession. It doesn't start overnight. It always does start with small things. And I kind of want to go back to that for a minute. You know, we oftentimes we do things that we look at as innocent, you know, whether it's going to see horror films or listening to certain music or reading books, or even, you know, again, like we said, playing with Ouija boards or things like that. These, you could almost look at them like they're the gateway drug of the demon world. And Satan doesn't try to just like throw it all at us. He slips a little bit in at the door, a little bit at a time to trick us and lead us astray. Have you ever known anyone to dabble with stuff and get themselves in trouble?
So the second exorcism that I witnessed was the exorcism of this young lady. Her name is Terry. And her story, which, you know, we didn't know until after her possession and exorcism, we went back and looked and investigated. But her story was fairly interesting. How she started off, you probably have to ask my father, because he had those conversations. But as far as I know, there were instances where she would get up in the middle of the night. And or there was this one time where she got up in the middle of the night, and if it wasn't for her fiancé, who got up and followed her after, you know, she hadn't come back for a while, she would have gotten ran over by a car, because she went outside and she laid down in the middle of the street. Just laid there. So at night, a car wouldn't have seen that, or might have seen that too late. And that probably was even one of the later stages leading towards final possession. But it could have been anything. It could have been just going and watching, you know, certain movies that carry subliminal messages that cause you to go into those things and dabble with those things. But it does progress slowly. It does infect and take over slowly. Things will happen that lead up to this culmination, and you don't really realize it until you're looking back at it.
You know, it's interesting. I know a pastor in South Africa, and he wasn't always a pastor. He used to be a biology professor of biochemistry. When one of his children was born, they were born possessed. Wow. He didn't believe in God at the time. He was an atheist. So this was a shocker for him, because here you don't believe in God or Satan, and all of a sudden your child, there's something crazy wrong with your child. What do you do? And come to find out, his father-in-law was highly involved in the occult and in that stuff. And so this came through their family. And so, you know, we don't know what doors were opening up. You know, you might be messing with something and think, but like the Bible says that, you know, we're affected our third and fourth generation from what we do and stuff like that. And so, you know, what we do is passed on. And so you need to think, you know, we need to think about our friends. We need to think about the people that were around, our family. You know, and if we're messing with stuff that's dangerous, we're putting other people effectively in danger as well. Yes. Satan wants to trick us. His whole purpose is to deceive us. And he doesn't care if we go down easily or if we go down painfully. He just wants us to go down. I remember, you know, when I was a kid and I was fascinated with some of that stuff, it was intrigue. And I was, you know, I was a Christian and I came from a Christian family. But when someone would talk about floating or Ouija boards or different stuff like this, it interested me, you know, or when I'd go and see a magician. You know, a lot of people don't think a magician's bad, but it doesn't matter what they're doing. If they're dabbling in the wrong stuff, they're on the wrong side. You know, a lot of magicians will say, oh, well, my stuff is just, it's an illusion or a trick. But Satan is the father of lies, right? And you're dealing with an art of trickery, an art of deception. And that's what Satan's good at, is he lives in this land of art of deception. Let me just ask you this then. You know, if you, you know, being that you've experienced all this stuff in your life and you've walked down these roads and you've seen how dangerous it is, this is a chance for you. I mean, warn people, tell people what, you know, what you think. Like, what would you suggest our listeners do if they're dabbling with this stuff or if they've had some kind of interest in it?
So there's actually a saying I've heard before, and it's, if the devil asks you to dance, you better say never, because a dance of the devil can last you forever. And that is extremely true. Once you dabble in this, and once you mess around with things that you probably shouldn't, your eyes, in a way, are open. Mm. Even if it's not you dabbling with it. For example, in my case, all my experiences aren't because I messed around with the Ouija board. All my experiences aren't because I, you know, consulted a medium or called out to a dead family member. All my instances are because, you know, you've seen it once, you've experienced it once. So now your eyes are trained to notice these things that you didn't notice before. So
just as an example of that, like, let's just say, for example, A couple years ago, we bought a new Honda Odyssey. Mm-hmm. When you've not had a car, you don't notice that car as much. But then when you buy that car, you see it all the time. Like, I didn't know there was this many of these on the road, but they're everywhere then because your eyes are open to it. And I think in the same sense, yeah, once you've seen something, you cannot see it. You're aware of these things. Once you've been involved in something, you're always aware of that thing. And so, you know, although you may not necessarily still be involved in it in a bad way, you still know that it's there. You still see the world that it runs in. Yeah, once your eyes are open to something, they're open.
Yes.
So yeah, be careful. Tread lightly. Now it's interesting because you said something about inviting the devil in or whatever. You know, he doesn't leave or some. I don't remember exactly how you said it, but it just made me think about this. And oftentimes this topic, I know this may be a touchy subject, but oftentimes the devil uses other mediums as well that we're not thinking about to get into our lives. And one of the things that you said reminded me of a song that I used to love called Hotel California. Mm-hmm. And really what that song is about, and a lot of people don't, because it's got a catchy tune, it's kind of a nice song, whatever, but a lot of people don't realize it's talking about being involved in that kind of lifestyle, in a demon-possessed life. Once you get into that hotel, you can never leave. Yeah. Once you're on that side, you're on that side. You're stuck. Now, the reality is the good news, even though you may feel stuck in whatever situation you're in, you know, if we've got someone listening that's been battling with this stuff, that demons are bothering them or that things like this are happening in their lives, there is a way out, and his name is Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And, you know, although we may be scared, we may be stuck in fearful times, we may think there's no hope because we're in so deep, there is always hope. And if you call on Christ, Satan can't mess with you. He is your protection and your strength. He's your hope in the darkest fields. You know, David said, when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, like, you're with me. God can protect us and give us freedom from these things. So even though there is this scary world out there, this scary realm, you know, one that, you know, not by your choice, but by your experience, you've lived next to this realm, you could say. And, you know, I'm so glad that for you and your father and your family that you've not gotten pulled into this, but that you're safe. In living in that, it probably would have been easy to get trapped or bothered, don't you think?
The devil feeds off fear. The reason that these apparitions might happen, for example, a couple of years back, I was staying at a friend's house. I saw a young woman. And it was weird because it was kind of typical. It's something you would see in a horror movie. Out in the room I was staying, I was on my phone, and I saw the demonic entity walk across the room and up towards the stairs. And she was wearing a long, dirty gown and hair in front of the face. You can definitely tell the difference. So if it's just something you might see out of the corner of your eye, as opposed to a demonic apparition, it's right there. And I couldn't sleep for the rest of the night, and I called my father, and because he was back in Texas at the time, and through me he saw that demonic entity as well. And we had a prayer with the family that was in the house that night. Satan feeds off of fear. So if you see some sort of a demonic entity or have some sort of demonic experience, what Satan wants is for you to fear more and more and more. And if you are afraid of that, if you do not have, you know, Jesus in your corner, you're obviously going to be afraid. If you don't know that Jesus is, you know, way more powerful than these demonic entities, you're going to be afraid and more afraid until the, you know, a breaking point, until a point where you concede. And then that is when Satan can take control of you.
And if I was in that situation, I'd probably just go straight to the church and be like, Lord, protect me. You know, let me just scary stuff. You see in movies, it's in movies because somebody else has experienced it or heard about it or things like that. People don't come up with stuff like that off the top of their head. And so, you know, I just want to encourage people, you know, guard your eyes, guard your heart. Stay away from stuff that seems evil. Stay away from stuff that may deal with the occult. It might seem like it's just fun to go watch such and such a horror movie or whatever, to be scared or to play with these things or to talk about it. But, you know, unless you have a good foundation on Jesus, that stuff is going to mess with you. And even if you do have a good foundation on Jesus, stay away from that stuff. It's not good for you. God wants us to be safe, to feel safe, to be happy, to live in a comfortable place. He doesn't want us to be kept up at night because of fearful things. He wants to protect us. And the Bible says the devil prowls around like a roaring lion seeking for things that he can destroy. Satan wants to destroy us. He wants to ruin our lives. And it's so good to know that throughout the Bible, time and time again, the disciples and Jesus were able to cast out demons and to chase away evil spirits. There is protection in Jesus. So I want to encourage our listeners, if you're listening to this and you're scared by this stuff, or you've seen stuff, or you messed around with stuff, call on Jesus' name. It is the most powerful name. The Bible says that it causes the demons to tremble. And so, you know, call on Jesus. If you need help, you can contact me. Again, that's Pastor Hodgins, Hodgins, @gmail.com. Or you can follow us on social media. Thanks for listening today, and have a great time growing in Christ. And if you want to find out more, check out our website or our podcast, or follow us on Instagram, Psalms_704. That's Psalm_704. Thanks for listening. Hey, so glad you could join us for this episode of the Psalm 704 podcast. Thanks for listening again. Remember, our family is stronger and better with you in it. You can check out the things that we're doing in the area of Charlotte at psalm704.com, or follow us on Instagram, Psalm_704, or find us on Facebook.